Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. How are we looking today? The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are good to go. We are glad you're here. And keep reminding you that starting on Saturday, we are leaving town. Myself, Mike Clemens, the staff, we're heading down to Miami. And it's really shaping up already. We've got some interviews that I'm looking forward to. We're in talks right now with getting some people on the program. We're getting, Aaron Jones is going to come by, the current Green Bay Packer running back. We're going to talk with him. The former Green Bay Packer wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, which is always nice. Lee Steinberg, super agent to the stars, the man that the movie, Show Me the Money was all written about. In addition to that, we are expected to get Tua, the quarterback out of Alabama, going to stop by. Coach Mendez, which is an incredibly interesting story, born with no arms, no legs, and just an incredible inspiration, and he is going to be joining us. We've got just all kinds of different celebrities that are already in contact with us, and I'm so looking forward to it. Obviously, Ross Tucker is going to stop by. Coach Billick is going to stop by. James Jones is going to stop by. Steve Mariucci is going to stop by. I can go on and on and on. The list continues to grow. We are also going to have access to the guys on the Fox Sports side of things. Maybe I will sit down again and do a one-on-one with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and try to get their thoughts on the Green Bay Packers and Packers fans. So if you got questions for them, you can always shoot them to us. So we got all that coming up as well. We'll have a night with our friends from Fox. We'll bring you all the pageantry of opening night, which is really a lot of fun, and they're going to put that in Marlins Park this year. So we got a lot going on. So make sure you follow us on all the social media platforms. Go to @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels on Twitter. On Facebook, go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. It's got the blue check mark. Like us, and all that stuff will pop up for you. Don't forget also that you can follow me at BillMichaelsSports.com. There's Instagram, which is the real Bill Michaels over there on Instagram. So plenty of ways to track us down. Hopefully you do so. Let's bring in Paul Emick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emick, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Good Wednesday to you, Paul.
Hey, Bill. How are you, man?
Doing well. So Matt LaFleur has now spoken. He is evaluating. When the first question was asked about whether or not Mike Pettine is staying or going, we are currently evaluating and did some good things during the season. Obviously, the way the season ended, they didn't have the energy. It just faltered, basically. Wasn't committal. Do you think Mike Pettine's coming back from the sound of Matt LaFleur?
No. No, I think there were two paths that could have gone. One, Matt LaFleur saying, yes, I think Mike Pettine is the guy to lead this group going forward, or I'm still evaluating. I didn't think he'd actually use that moment to say, I want to let everybody know I've decided to let Mike Pettine go. We're going to look for new. I didn't think he would use that forum for that, which means he was either going to say, I believe in Mike Pettine, he's coming back, or something to the extent of I'm still evaluating. If I'm Mike Pettine, and I don't know if he bought a home in Green Bay or he rented, but I'm certainly on the market, I would think, at least exploring what if I have to, move, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would certainly take it. And, you know, and I think when you start to look at, you know, the coaching tree connections that existed on Sunday between Saleh and Mike Shanahan and, of course, Matt LaFleur and his brother Mike LaFleur and all of these different, you know, people who are relatively young in NFL coaching standards, you know, like late 30s, early 40s type of people. I mean, clearly Matt LaFleur is a connected guy, and there are a lot of extremely, you know, quality coaches that he has as best friends or as, you know, close acquaintances or as, you know, former roommates. And, you know, he's obviously been connected to the right people in his career. And I think that it's not surprising that he would want to go at some point. And again, this is not official. We're just, you know, we're just speculating based on his comments today. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he wanted to have his guy. And I certainly think the odds of Mike Pettine not returning for the 2020 season increased today based on the still evaluating type of comments that LaFleur gave.
Should he be back?
That's a really tough one. You know, the offense was okay this year. I'd say the offense was good this year, right? And so there's that. But I think the defense was probably the stronger part of the team. You know, stronger than special teams, stronger than the offense. But a lot of that came from a pass rushing perspective, which in today's NFL is supposed to be the most important part. Right? Like, mm-hmm. If you can get after quarterbacks, you're supposed to be able to win. Unfortunately for the Packers and unfortunately for Mike Pettine's job security, he went up against an offense that decided to pass it all of 8 times and just ran it down Mike Pettine's defense's throat. And so I think what the ultimate thing for, you know, for not just LaFleur but Brian Gutekunst to analyze is, do they think that the pieces they gave to Mike Pettine were enough to stop the run, or do they say we gave you the right pieces? Because think of this. They gave 3 very high-priced contracts last offseason to free agents, the Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos. They used both first-round picks on defense, Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. And I know Gary didn't play a lot, but between Savage, Smith, and Amos, you just drafted or signed 4 of your, you know, top 10 most used players on defense. These guys didn't like sign some backups and, you know, sign street free agents. I mean, these were high priced draft picks or free agents. And then again, but you know, what were these guys' strengths? Stopping the pass. So, you know, is it a roster construction problem that Brian Gutekunst, you know, had guys like Lancaster on the defensive line? And obviously the Montrevious Adams pick thus far has remained a bad one. And, you know, Dean Lowry gets a contract extension, keep in mind, 4 months ago, so he's not going anywhere. So, you know, are these the guys up front that you need? Is Blake Martinez the guy that you need in the middle of the defense among the linebackers? You know, can any defensive coordinator stop the run with that group, or is it just not the right group of players? And, you know, I think if you told me what would I do, I think I would, you know, of course, you don't know if you're LaFleur and you're Gutekunst. You obviously, if you go the route of dismissing Mike Pettine, you know who you want to call. You're not gonna fire Pettine not knowing who you hope to hire or who you're assured of hiring. But assuming that's true, I think I would see if there was somebody else to lead that defense. Because again, LaFleur inherited Mike Pettine, who I think, you know, I mean, Bill, let's give all things in. Let's give Mike Pettine a grade for the 2019 season. I'm going to give him a B or B minus.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? No, I would go with that. I mean, look, they were one of the top 10 scoring defenses in all of football. They ended up at number 9 overall. Yeah. They were 18th in total defense, but when it came to scoring, they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, just at the very end of this thing, it got away from them. And, you know, they just got physically and schematically beat up. So, granted, they have, you know, things to change going into the offseason, but I looked at Brian Gutekunst more so than I looked at Mike Pettine at this point.
Yeah, and so really that's where it all comes back to is, like, if you're going to give your, you know, let's say that they give the same grade, let's say the front office gives Pettine the same grade that we just did, B, B minus, you're really asking yourself, can you find an A minus, B plus? Like, there's certainly some room for improvement if that's your grade, but you know, it's not like you just got a D, you know. Now, on the other side of it, you start to look at some of the predecessors and people that LaFleur has learned from. And Sean McVay, you know, a year ago was in the Super Bowl. This year they missed the playoffs, and he fires Wade Phillips, you know. And that's cutthroat, right? Like, Wade Phillips is a very well-respected defensive coordinator in the league. And one bad year for the Rams, and McVay said, see ya. So, you know, I just start to think that there's enough, you know, data points, so to speak, that point to LaFleur is probably going to be on the more aggressive side of that. And his comments today certainly didn't make it more likely that Patton returns. So I guess I, you know, the more I think about it, the more I talk about it, the more it seems that things are going to point to LaFleur bringing in somebody else.
I went through the All-22 last night and looked at it over and over and over again. There were schematic things. There were things that offensively they didn't handle really well. The blocking scheme up front was confused at times. San Francisco did a masterful job. I go back to some of the things that we had talked about after the game, in which, say, the pass to Geronimo Allison, bad pass by Aaron Rodgers. Actually, when I went back and looked at it, Geronimo Allison overran the zone. And I start to now that I get a little deeper into this, I'm cutting Aaron Rodgers some slack. It looked like he was out there playing chess and everybody else was playing checkers. And if you weren't in the right place at the right time, that's the reason the guy hung on to the football. That's the reason the guy didn't trust a lot of the guys around him. And so on one hand, I can say, damn it, you got to trust these guys. You got to just wing it. And it's easy to say, let it go. But when he did and trusted him, because he threw the ball before the guy stopped to, you know, the route, it got picked off. I cut Aaron Rodgers a little bit more slack than maybe what I should have, what I should have done a little bit earlier this season. And I just wanted your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you're playing. Let's take a small step back. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Bill, he played one snap in the NFC Championship game. This was supposed to be, your number two guy, him and or Geronimo Allison. I mean, Bill, I don't know if you want to pull up the game log, game by game, of Geronimo Allison this season. It's bad, man. Like, right? You're talking, like, his best games were like, now he had that one against the Raiders, where, you know, he had two catches for 120 yards.
And that's where you were thinking, okay, here he comes, you know?
Yeah, you thought it was going to take off at that point. And then basically after that game, you're like, you know, zero catches, 0 yards, 0-0, 1 for 8, 2 for 6. You know, there's some really, like, wow, this guy just disappeared. So when, you know, Valdes-Scantling falls so far off the chart that he's not even getting a second snap in the NFC Championship game, and those snaps are going to Geronimo Allison, who I think is not coming back next season, who I think a lot of people had much higher hopes for, and just certainly did not build upon his early, you know, his early career success. He's very much plateaued, if not fallen off. You know, Alan Lazard, what a year he had, but you're still, I mean, that should not be your number two option for a Super Bowl contending team. Not at this early stage of Lazard's career. He might continue to ascend and become that, but I mean, 2 months earlier, he was some guy sitting on the sideline hoping that eventually the coaching staff would put him into a game, and it took injuries to Darius Shepherd, among others, to, you know, to even get him on the field. So, you know, if that's your group of playmakers, if that's your group of pass catchers, there's a lot, you know, left to be desired. So I think when you start to talk about, like, that specific interception that was targeted for Geronimo Allison, or, you know, some of Rodgers' play this season, I think you owe it to yourself to find out, if you're Brian Gutekunst, you owe it to yourself to find out, what would this offense look like, what would Rodgers look like, if there wasn't just one threat. And there was. There was just one threat, Devontae Adams. And then there was just a bunch of guys who might not even be in the league much longer, much less on the Packers. Like, you know, like Jamon Moore had to wait until November to pretty much get a job on a practice squad. Like, these are the kind of guys that they thought they could surround Rodgers with. So, you know, there's plenty of, you know, blame, I suppose, to go around from, you know, why the offense from a passing perspective didn't click as much. But if you don't put more weapons around a quarterback, you know, there's only so many miracles that quarterback, I think, can pull off when Geronimo Allison is your number two, you know, wide receiver on the depth chart.
Nope, completely agree. Paul, good stuff. Appreciate it, pal. We'll talk at the end of the week.
All right, Phil.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long, long time. You, good company to call. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. If you're looking for a new team or a team, 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by the Milwaukee Admirals. Skillet is in town this coming weekend for a post-game concert. So stop off at milwaukeeadmirals.com. Get yourself some tickets. If you are a Skillet fan, there you go. And they're playing some really good hockey along the way as well. Check out milwaukeeadmirals.com. That's milwaukeeadmirals.com. More The Bill Michaels Show, we have a throwback for you. I'll tell you what it is. You're going to want to hear it coming up next.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are here. This portion of the program brought to you by friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin. And I was just asked yesterday, and everybody always talks about New Mail when they look around like they're robbing a bank. Ooh. Anybody listening? Oh. And then a guy, I'd probably say he was mid-40s, says, hey, unit, does that stuff work? And I said, well, it depends on what you're asking about. I said, I don't do the ED treatments, but they have a 98% success rate. It speaks for itself. The low T treatments, more energy, absolutely. You better believe it. You better believe it. And he goes, no, the weight loss. Now, this guy could stand to eat a carrot or two. And so I said, yes. I said, as a matter of fact, from January 1st, really January 2nd, because I watched some games on January 1st and ate like there was no tomorrow. But really on January 2nd is when I really started back at the gym and I started working out, but just more so watching what I'm eating and starting on the plan. I am down today like 17.6 pounds to be exact. To drop 2 more pounds before I leave for Miami between today and Saturday, early Saturday morning, I think I can do this. I think I got this. I think I'm good to go. If not, it's been a hell of a ride so far anyway. Because I know I'm heading to Skyline Chili down to Fort Lauderdale. That's you better believe it. So I'm going to need a little help when I get back. But, yes, it does work. All you got to do is call 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. And all you got to do is call. Just make a phone call. You can change your life. Seriously. So we were in Minneapolis a few years back for the Super Bowl, if you remember. And we were crowded into the food court. Radio Row was just a mishmash of just stuff. And we're right in between the Panda Express and the Great Steak Escape. And we're just kind of hanging out. And there's T.O. walking around with a backpack, knocking everybody. We're crammed into a small space, right? As a matter of fact, we had Damon Amendola on a little while ago. I should ask him about this because he'll remember. He was right in front of me doing his show. And it was just, it was crammed. It was crowded. And that's where that argument between the station from Houston and the station from Philadelphia got into it. And they fought right next to us. And myself and Stephen A. Smith are over there yelling at people. And it was just, it was craziness. But at the time, Lee Steinberg, super agent, comes over and says, I want you to meet one of my newer guys. This is Patrick Mahomes. And I said, well, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you too. So he sits down. We're in a commercial break. So here comes Patrick Mahomes. And just then I get the bzz, bzz on my phone. Okay, so it's breaking news, so I know what it is. You know, I'm kind of looking, I'm scrolling around. I'm like, well, Patrick, nice to meet you. Did you see this? And he's like, what's this? And I hand him my phone. As he's putting the headset on, sitting down at our broadcast booth. And he looks and he sees the same thing we saw. And then he looks at Lee and he looks back at me and he goes, no blank. And I said, yeah, how do you feel? And then we talked about it. What happened was, Alex Smith was traded. He had found out, coming on our program, that he was the new starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, let me take you back, like the time warp music here. Patrick Mahomes sitting down with us on Radio Row back in Minneapolis when he found out he just became the starting quarterback for Andy Reid.
This guy had a hell of a week. Didn't do anything. He woke up one day. Next thing you know, bam, starting quarterback. Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs now joining us here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Have you Ever had anything like this just happen where you just wake up one day and went, what? Huh?
It's been an exciting week, and I'm just excited for the future ahead.
So you've obviously talked to Alex since the trade went down?
Yeah, I talked to Alex. He's a great guy. I love him as a guy. He's been a great mentor for me. He's helped me, and he's had a great year himself.
So did he know it was coming?
I have no idea. I mean, yeah, it's been a.
I mean, you just texting, you know, WTH?
No, it's been a crazy experience, and for me, it's just about getting better every single day and just keep working and just ready for future opportunities.
What did you learn from him? Because this is a guy that there's a lot of tie to Wisconsin in this because he went. It was either him or Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers falls to the Packers. Mm-hmm. He ends up going to San Francisco, then over to Kansas City. Bring some success there, and then all of a sudden you're drafted. Boom, he's gone. You know, I mean, he's kind of had a weird career after going with one of the top picks in the draft.
Yeah, it's been a weird, crazy one for him, but he's learned a lot from it. He helped teach me a ton about how to not make some mistakes that he made early in his career, and he's really learned how to really never be too high, never be too low, and just play his game and have fun doing it.
Now, you had him, obviously, as a mentor, but one of the other guys that's been and fallen out of that Mike Holmgren tree has been Andy Reid. What is it like playing for Coach Reid?
Yeah, Coach Reed's awesome, man. He's a great, great guy, funny but serious at the same time, and he really, really helps me just about expanding my knowledge and challenging me every single day.
What does he bring as far as a coach? Because he's an offensive-minded guy, so you fell into a really good situation. I mean, when John Dorsey drafted you and brought you there, how much have you grown as a player over the last year?
I mean, I've grown tremendously. I mean, just really about my knowledge of the game, how I prepare, how I game plan every single week. Just doing that every single day, I mean, that's really helped me in every aspect, not just physically but mentally.
So you're now the guy. I mean, when you talk about starters in the NFL, you're one of 32. So when you go into a huddle now and you're looking at a guy who had a tremendous season like a Kareem Hunt, you got a Travis Kelce who unfortunately goes down in that game, and it seemed like everything changed when Kelce went down. I mean, offense, how much was he – we saw it, but how much was he – what did he mean to that offense?
Yeah, I mean, Kelce, he's a big part of our offense, of course. I mean, he's the best, I think, tight end in the league. He's someone that – can make plays, mismatches for every defense, and I mean, we lost him. It did hurt. I wish we could have closed the game out a little bit better. I think we still should have got the win out of that. But you gotta move on from things like that. But I mean, he's gonna keep being one of the best in the league. He works hard. He's so smart. He understands the game, and I'm excited to have him.
Well, I was gonna say you got to be excited. I mean, is that the guy that you do? You look at Tariq Hill. Do you look at him? Do you look at those guys and say, okay, this is the guy that I have to have that relationship with?
Not necessarily. I feel like all of us have great relationships. Just being in that locker room, there's a lot of good guys, a lot of guys that get along, and we've kind of built great relationships with everybody, and I feel like as a unit we can really just take off and keep climbing the charts.
How many people around here have looked at you and went, congratulations, man? I mean, you hate to get it that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a bit you immediately see what the business is.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, for me, it's all about just keeping level-headed, just keep working, keep doing what you've been doing all this last year and your whole life. Just keep working and being ready for all the opportunities and be ready to play.
For as much as you talk about the NFL and storied franchises, people tend to forget about Kansas City at times because it's been a while since they've been there. But Kansas City, the Chiefs fans are rooted. I mean, that's playing at Arrowhead they've had some renovations there, but that's a historic place to play, and now you're the head guy down there. So has it all of a sudden added any kind of pressure for you?
No, it hasn't really added any pressure. I mean, for me, all the pressure is put on myself. I want to win. I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to win multiple if I can. And for me, that pressure is already on myself. So whenever people come act like and try to think if I have pressure on me, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm already putting this on myself. I'm ready to go out there and win right when I get there, and the passion of the fans and all that stuff will help carry us there.
Were you surprised they picked you?
No, not at all. I thought I did really well in the draft process with the Chiefs. I thought I built a great relationship with those guys. I knew there was a good chance they could pick me, and I was very happy they came up and got me in the draft, and it was an exciting time.
Did they give you an indication that they were really, really interested in taking you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I definitely knew they were really interested. There was other teams that were interested, too, so I didn't know how draft day was going to work out. But
if you had the top three teams where you thought you were going to go, was it Kansas City and then somebody else, or did you think that there was like really a good shot at say three or four teams?
It was a really good shot at three or four teams, especially because there was earlier teams in the draft that could pick me. I know a lot of teams like me, but yeah, for sure, Kansas City was definitely at the top of the chart.
Talking with Patrick Mahomes, now the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, you got a very good team. You've got a team that just they're looking for something to take them over the top. So how much have you grown, not really seeing a ton of time, obviously, how much have you grown as a quarterback this year? Because it's all cerebral now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my knowledge of the game has gone up a ton just from learning from Alex, learning from Coach Reed and all those guys, and really game planning every single week. I've probably learned more this year than I've learned in my entire career up to this date.
You got a hell of a run game behind you, too. As a quarterback, that's got to be comforting knowing that Kareem Hunt, the season that he had, and that you've got some good guys back there, that you've got the ability now that you can – you're multidimensional. And with the ability – you're – the difference in your game between Alex is what? The ability for you to kind of move out of the pocket. Alex is good, but he's not great at it. You have more athleticism in that area.
Yeah, I don't know. Alex is a very athletic guy.
Or is he
he's
deceptive?
Fast, he's fast. He can run. And for me, I mean – I don't know what the differences are. I mean, I'm just going to go in and try to fight and play my game and hopefully win a lot of games.
So what else you got going on around here today? You got parties and you got things to do and
yeah,
people to see?
First off, I'm going to go to – I have an event with Panini Trading Cards, a place where I've built a great relationship about collecting cards with them. And I collected cards when I was young.
I was going to ask you, did you do
that? Now I'm signing cards and people can collect them at anywhere like Target or Walmart. And then going to that, and then I have my Lee Steinberg party that
that's
my
tomorrow,
agent
yeah.
tomorrow, so I'll be at that too.
Yeah, we're going to see you guys over there. So
yes.
There's a whole collection of really young, good young talent over there. And Lee's a good guy. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Lee and how he wooed you to come to his agency.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Lee and Chris Cabot, my agents, were just how much I knew they were genuine. They really wanted me to succeed, and I feel like they had the perfect plan in place for it.
Great stuff, Patrick. We wish you all the luck in the world. You're a popular dude around here now,
yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Because I'll tell you what, we were sitting around here. It was in the evening. Wait, where were you when you got the notification?
I was at my brother's basketball game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what, did you get a text?
I got some calls and saw it all over social media and everything like that.
Were you there with anybody, or is it just you hanging out?
My whole family was there, yeah, because we were at
What'd your family say?
I mean, not too much. We finished watching my brother's game first, and then we kind of just let it soak in.
Okay. Because it had to be one of those moments you just say, really? Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, I've got to ask you about ketchup. Aaron told me to ask you about ketchup. He said, dude, he put on a shoe and eat it if he had to.
Yeah, nah, I'm a big ketchup fan. where I get the most hate is I put ketchup on my steak, and people do not like that.
Yeah?
But I like it better with ketchup. I'm sorry.
Well, if you go to Texas, that's offensive. I think everywhere else you're pretty good.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
You go, like you go to Manny's downtown and bring ketchup, maybe they might, explore our guy. But, yeah, I think that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Patrick, appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping
by.
Patrick Mahomes joining us for a couple of minutes, starting quarterback now for the Kansas City Chiefs.
There you go. That was Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes comes by, finds out, takes his family out. They're kind of listening, thinking about it. Oh, my goodness. What a great way to find out you're, I mean, not the best of ways, but great way to find out you're the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Really, really, really good stuff. Good, and that's kind of taking you back down memory lane. Now look at him. You know, I will probably have to take a boom mic and get it to him to set it like over top of 400 throngs of media trying to get to him coming up on Monday night. Monday night, by the way, is opening night for the kickoff to Super Bowl 54, and we will bring you all the fun and pageantry and sound coming out of Miami. Looking forward to it. There you go. That was Patrick Mahomes. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Blowing down the wire tonight. I'm singing through these power lines, and I'm running on time and feeling all right. Skipping over the currents in the air. Reaching
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are here. We are on the air. We are glad to have you. Hey, got to go say hi to our friends over there at the Signature Limo. Brooke and Pat and everybody using them, heading down to the airport. Whether you're heading to the airport, whether it's Milwaukee, Chicago, or anywhere else, you got a night out, you got a big party bus, you want to take a bunch of people, whatever it happens to be, they are small enough to know your name, big enough to handle your every need. That is our friends from Signature Limo. Go to booksignature.com. Do what I did. Go to booksignature.com and book one for yourself. And just see what I'm talking about, because Pat's just a great guy. Him and Brooke, they just take care of you. Also, don't forget about our friends over there at Skipper Buds. They are at the boat show, and they have all week long, a lot of great boat show deals going on, and boat show deals on used boats as well. So if you're going to do anything and you're thinking about the summer and you're thinking about recreational sports when it comes to boating or whatever it happens to be, you got to go see Ryan and everybody over at Skipper Buds. Todd's the GM over there. He's the one that can make the deals. Tell Todd that we sent you. Go to skipperbuds.com to see all their inventory. That's skipperbuds.com. So earlier today, Stacey Dales of the NFL Network, I had a chance to chat with her and kind of break down. She was with the Packers for a long period of time leading up to the NFC Championship game. We're going to see Stacey again and all the NFL Network coverage down in Miami all this upcoming week as well. Had a chance to talk to her about this Packers game, about the Packers now ousted from the postseason, what they need to do, what she saw from the NFC Championship game. We now bring in our good friend, Stacey Dales from the NFL Network. Go to Stacey Dales at S-T-A-C-E-Y Dales on Twitter, and you get the NFL Network providing extensive on-location Super Bowl coverage. We're going to be down there in Miami. Stacey's going to be there in Miami. Everybody's going to be in Miami starting on Saturday. Stacey, how you doing?
I'm good, Bill. It's good to join you guys. And yeah, we're all kind of still reflecting on that game on Sunday, and what a shocker it was. But you know, I think what was exposed is the San Francisco 49ers, how complete they are across the board. So it's going to be a good Super Bowl.
I went back and watched it last night, kind of the all 22, and kind of broke it down. And it just seemed like coaching schematically, San Francisco did a masterful job defensively. Offensively, they said, "Hey, we're going to run it down your throat, try to stop us." And the Packers did numerous things; they just couldn't stop them. I mean, physically, they just got beat a lot in the trenches, and that's kind of what it came down to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of feel it unraveling out of the gates. And, you know, anytime you watch Aaron Rodgers mishandle a snap, you know that as good as he is, you know that he's, you know, he's on the ultra high alert of where is this pressure coming from? And I can just recall asking him before the game during the pressers the previous week, what makes this the best pass defense in football? Because they are number one. Across in a lot of categories, they're in the top 10, but number one pass defense. And he said, oh, you know, all those guys up front, and they play like it. I mean, first rounders meaning. So when you look at their front and you think about Armstead and Day and Buckner and Bosa, and then you think about Solomon Thomas being a backup to that front, I mean, they just come in waves. And I think it's remarkable because, you know, we go back and look at stats and we go back and look at the research. The number one pass defense in a Super Bowl is 9-4. And so you always have that argument, Bill, if you have the greatest quarterback of all time or you have the best defense of all time, so to speak, you know, which is more important? I'm about the defense, and the last number one pass defense to get to a Super Bowl was the 2015 Broncos, and guess what? They won it.
Yeah.
It was Super Bowl 50, but all the way back, ironically, at Levi's Stadium. So I just think that this defense is going to present a ton of problems for as good as Patrick Mahomes has been. I think it's just going to be an incredible chess match between that offense and this defense.
I look for the Green Bay Packers to rebound from this. They've got some work to do in the offseason. It begins and ends in a lot of ways with Aaron Rodgers. I know he's taken some criticism. I think some of it's been a little bit unwarranted. Mm-hmm. Give me your thoughts about how Aaron, you saw him play and talk to him a lot this year. Give me your thoughts on Aaron this season.
Well, I think that he adapted to, you know, in this league, you have to be a relative chameleon. And what we saw of Aaron in the past is the same offense year after year with Mike McCarthy. And the first check down, you know, second check down. And I think you saw him be a chameleon this year. He had to figure out what Matt LaFleur wanted to do, how he could still have his imprint on the offense. And to be honest with you, I give him credit. I think he adjusted. Now, we didn't see the same numbers from Aaron Rodgers, but what you saw is, and this is where these young, new, innovative coaches are looking at strategically week to week, how does our game plan beat their game plan? So getting away from what we do every week and who we are and this consistent, this is who we're going to be, versus what Kyle Shanahan does in terms of, and Sean McVay, and you look at Matt LaFleur, we're going to adjust every week to who you are and what you do. So our game plan will be dictated and predicated upon that. And that's what we saw from the Green Bay Packers, at least try to do in the first year. Are we going to use Aaron Jones in this game? How are we going to use him? Can we use him in the pass game? Do we exploit their defense and use him in the run game consistently? You know, you see a team go without Devontae Adams four games and still be effective. that's strategic game planning. And I think Aaron Rodgers bought into that. And I'll be honest, I think, you know, you got to go out and get him some playmakers. I mean, you've got a number one guy in Davante Adams. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, fell off. Geronimo Allison hasn't been consistently a prominent threat. And so, you know, for me, looking at this team and looking at the depth at receiver and having that George Kittle kind of tight end, that Zach Ertz, that, you know, Travis Kelce, how do you find something like that that becomes a toy for Aaron Rodgers to use? Because he's got the running backs. We know that. And then maybe you look at that offensive line and how you can add some depth there. So I think there's a lot of areas that you're going to see Brian Gutekunst look to address in the offseason, who did a masterful job retooling that defense, though it still could use some run support defensively.
I look at the way this Packer, I mean, I know today Matt LaFleur was not committal when it came to questions about Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine's defense ended up in the top 10 when it came to scoring defenses. He was in 18th when it came to total yards. I agree. I think that there are still some of the things, the penalties they're paying for some of the draft choices that Ted Thompson made in the latter portion of his career. I don't think I would change that horse in midstream right now. I think I'd give Mike Pettine another shot and get him some additional talent. And that's kind of the same line of thinking you're giving me?
Yes, I would. But I'm not a general manager or one of their scouts or one of their coaches. I mean, Mike Pettine, I thought, did a really good job of completely changing what they do. And, you know, to have the highest pressure rate in the NFL is not easy to do, especially when you're, I would say, your depth is, you know, when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers in a game like the NFC Championship, to have the depth that they have, and every Packers player told me, what's the biggest concern? Well, their depth. Aaron Rodgers, all the first rounders, they play like it. Solomon Thomas backs up that defensive line. The Green Bay Packers, I think you take a model like this, Bill, and you say, okay, here's what we need now to win the NFC Championship. So now next year you go in thinking, okay, these are the parts that we were missing, and what model do we need to beat a San Francisco 49ers team or whatever teams arise at the top next year? And Brian Gutekunst is as good a general manager as you'll see, and I think Mike Pettine will stay. I think they need more run support. I just do. And, you know, I remember asking Kyle Shanahan on the phone via conference call from Green Bay before that game on Sunday, what are the concerns with this defense? And he gave a lot of credit to Pettine, and he talked about the guys up front. But he did say they will give up yards, and they're okay with it. Well, guess what they did? Mostert had 3 touchdowns. They ran the football all over him. Jimmy Garoppolo barely threw the ball. So when he said they will give up some yards, that's exactly what they attacked, and they won dominantly doing so. So I think for Green Bay, they're going to, you know, try to beef up that front seven.
There you go. That was Stacey Dales of the NFL Network a little bit earlier today, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Always appreciate her commentary. You can follow her at Stacey Dales on Twitter. And don't forget about the NFL Network's complete coverage starting this coming Saturday live down there in Miami, and then obviously opening night coming up this Monday night in Miami, getting ready for Super Bowl 54. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Usinger. They got the great gift boxes. If you got a big Super Bowl party coming up, no better place to go than call Usinger for the meats and the delis and all that kind of good stuff and the cheese trays. They have got it all, and it's all so good. Go to Usinger, Usinger.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hard to
fight. Streets of stone. Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. Final segment before we get out of here. And the guy that's part of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles got across the country with Radio Joe Zinzola, our own Mike Clemens. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. 3 takes from Matt LaFleur's end-of-season press conference today. 1. And he's going to talk to Packers president Mark Murphy, not the GM Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, about where to take the team from here. What were the failures? What were the good things? What changes can he make? Now, does that necessarily mean the defensive coordinator Mike Pettine's in trouble? No, not necessarily. But 2, he was asked about the use of Rashawn Gary, and he said, yeah, we should have used him more. I mean, after all, he's a first-round pick. He's got a lot of talent. He sees him as an outside linebacker, but a guy can be down in the field. So that would indicate that maybe there was some disagreement between he and Pettine. Pettine maybe using too much Kyler Fackrell behind the Smith brothers as opposed to Gary. And the third thing I thought was really interesting is this is something I've been harping on is, what about Aaron Rodgers and running this offense? He said, you know, Aaron got under center a lot more than he's used to, which means, like we've been talking about, if you're Sean McVay and got Todd McGurley and you got Jared Goff at quarterback, the quarterback's under center, so they can start that misdirection or that jet sweep fakes to get the misdirection going, or what Matt Ryan did, or what you saw Jimmy Garoppolo do with, you know, Mostert the other night. Aaron Rodgers has got to be under center if they're really going to run the offense that LaFleur wants to run, and that's something they're going to have to do differently in 2020.
Mike, real quick before I let you go, a lot of speculation about Mike Pettine. I saw a lot of guys that got kind of beat up, but Stacey Dales also said, hey, the 49ers knew that you could run on this team, and there was nothing they're going to do to really stop it. Does Mike Pettine come back?
Yeah, well, Kyle Shanahan said that in the teleconference to us. I think he comes back, but I'll tell you what, ultimately, it's going to be Mark Murphy that makes this decision because he's going to say to LaFleur, well, who do you have in mind in bringing in, and what's that going to cost me?
Mark Murphy's going to be involved in the coaching staff decisions. I don't like the sound of that.
That's the new day in Green Bay. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the CEO and president that's making the football operations decisions, not necessarily the GM.
Mike, great stuff. Get back safe, and we'll talk to you later in the week, and then prepare yourself as we get ready to land, go to Fort Lauderdale, and then go to Skyline Chili before we indulge in the rest of Super Bowl week, all right?
So it's Skyline Chili before you set up the broadcast center.
Gotcha. Oh, you got to believe that. Come on, man. Damn straight. That might be the Saturday night dinner as well. We may go back to the other one in Fort Lauderdale. Who knows?
I'm so fired up, Billy. I'm so fired up.
I'm not even wearing pants right now, Mike. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk, buddy. There you go. That's Mike Clemens joining us on Schneider Orange Hotline. Time for us to go. Have a go and see ya.
Station strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.